Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
All right, so before I get into this, do you guys mind a little? We're just going to do it anyway. All right, but I'll give you a bit of a backstory just so you can understand where I'm coming from. You know, I wasn't raised a Christian. I was raised an atheist, and I got saved when I was a teenager. And we were the type of family that. We really were psycho, okay, just to be brutally frank. Now, I love my parents. My dad, he was a great dad, but there was some psychoness in our family, some dysfunction, okay? And the dysfunction really centered around the fact that my dad had, basically he had been raised by Christians. My grandparents are wonderful, Bible-believing Christians. And my dad really just backslid, okay, and became very carnal in his walk. And this is before, like, I can remember, okay? This is pre-Jonathan. And anyway, you know, really what ended up happening is that sin crept into my dad's life. And, you know, his life became compromised. And then slowly over time, you know, he just moved farther and farther away from the things of God until he wasn't going to church anymore. He wasn't talking about the things of God. His mind was consumed with worldly things and with sin. And eventually he just abandoned that. Okay, he just abandoned it altogether, Christianity. And became, in his words, agnostic. Okay, but for all intents and purposes, atheist. Because what he was communicating to me was all that stuff your grandparents says is false. All the stuff the Bible says about Jesus, false. Maybe there's some kernels of truth here and there, okay? But really, it's wrong. And my stepmom was just a very devout atheist. Devout, right? And she was, you know, a professor at Ivy League schools like Cornell and, you know, Stetson and, you know, places like that. But and so, you know, the kind of the, that's sort of the culture in the Ivy League schools right now anyway, right? So you know, there was really a war being waged for my soul. And we were the type of family, because of the rebellion my dad was in against, you know, his parents and against Jesus Christ, we would literally sit around the table and we would talk about how dumb we thought Christians were, right? For hours. I'm not even kidding you. It would go on and on, right? And it was a favorite topic of conversations to make fun of, you know, all, because we lived in the South, you know, in Florida. And so there's lots of Christians down there in the South. And, you know, anytime, you know, we drove by churches or whatever, you know, we would talk about just how awful and how ignorant and how closed-minded and how bigoted they were. And so it was out of this that God said, all right, you know, I'm gonna save that guy, Jonathan, right? A brand plucked from the fire, praise God. And I became a Christian. And it was difficult. In that environment, you know, I wasn't allowed to listen to Christian radio or turn on Christian TV, which was probably a good thing back in those days. But, you know, so, and then, every once in a while, my dad would come out and be like, all right, like through gritted teeth and be like, all right, you can go to church, right? But I'm not giving you a ride anywhere. You have to walk. And you can't go to any Baptist churches, because he just had a thing against Baptists. I don't know what that is, but, you know, sorry, right? These are my dad's issues, right? And so, So I'm like, okay, right? And, you know, I would walk to church. And this funny thing is I come back and my dad would be angry that I went, even though he just gave me permission to go, right? And so anyway, it was a difficult environment. But something that I found out really quickly was that I really, frankly, sucked as a Christian. Okay, I just really, man, I can't even express. Okay, all of the worst things that I ever did in my life came after I became a Christian. Okay, not before. Like before, I was pretty all right. I mean, it wasn't that big a deal, right? I mean, I did childish things, you know, and I failed classes, and the parents would freak out on me or whatever. But the worst stuff that I ever did came afterward, right? And it really disturbed me, you know. I would hear these testimonies of people becoming Christians, and they'd have these demonstrative conversions where, like, you know, boom, I'm saved and I'm awesome. Okay. And I was like, oh man, you know, what's going on with me? Maybe it's just going to take some time. Right. But it mattered to me. And believe me when I tell you, I mean, I don't want to get too much into my testimony, but my conversion was real. Okay, I mean, I came from like hating God and hating Christians to being like, dear Jesus, save me, please, right? And you know, if I wasn't saved that day, then I don't know what salvation is. Okay, but anyway, so that's a bit of my background, and then. And through all of that, I was like, you know, why, God, do I stink as a Christian? Okay. Why all of the failure? Why all the struggle with sin? Why am I the same person that I was when I was in middle school? Still struggling. I mean, the same dweeb, okay, that struggled with all of the whatever, okay, back then, still struggling with it. Why is that? So the disclaimer about the sermon is this, basically, that I'm not the epitome of this sermon, okay? Right? In fact, the reason that this topic is of particular interest to me is that I'm more the opposite of this sermon than the example of it, okay? And, you know, I'm not, you know, particularly mature or advanced as a Christian, but I want to be. And I want to enter with everything into greater maturity, and I hope you guys do too. And so now we're just going to talk about, you know, what was going on with the Corinthian church, okay? So let's open up our Bibles, right? And, well, I'm not going to because I haven't printed out, but you guys open up your Bibles, right? And turn to 1 Corinthians. I know that this is our main verse up here, but the first one we're going to visit is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 4 through 9. It says this: I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is basically just him talking to who he's writing to. And does it sound like these guys are Christians? Yeah, right? These guys are Christians. So I just wanted to lay that foundation. And something that we notice here, right, is that they were enriched in everything by him. And that they had all kinds of spiritual gifts and knowledge. You know, they had a conversion, they had spiritual gifts, they were smart. You know, but then look at these verses here. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3 says this: And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, For until now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? So this is what I'm pulling from this. Is it really there are two states that Christians can exist in? One is a carnal state, and one is a spiritual state. Because if the Corinthians were Christians, which it most certainly seems like they were, okay, there would be no point in Paul calling them carnal if there wasn't the possibility of them being carnal, okay? So now the question I ask myself, and I want you guys to ask yourselves, is, am I spiritual or am I carnal? And this is important to do, but this is just part of the Christian life. You know, this is something that we have to do. You know, self-examination is part of the deal, okay? And if you neglect self-examination, whoops, okay. Okay, it's not going to be a good thing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Hey, maybe you might be carnal because you're just not a Christian. That's legitimate, okay? You know, hey, I'm pretty fleshly, I'm pretty worldly, I'm living in sin, you know, you might not just be a Christian, okay? That could be one of the things. So examine yourself as we go through this and ask yourself, am I even a Christian? Am I even in the faith? And then in 1 Corinthians 11:31 it says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Sort of the arrangement is that God's like, I'll give you time to take care of it, okay? Okay. And, you know, my philosophy is, and I'm not saying it's a good one, but, you know, it's what I do. It's like, I need to be hard on myself, right, so that God will go easy on me, okay? Right? And, you know, that's sort of the, you know, so that's my advice, self-examination. So what we're doing here this is going to be a spiritual exercise, okay? When we examine ourselves, when we take a look into our hearts, right, and we examine, you know, the motives there, the thoughts in our minds, what we're going to find is that, you know, either I'm spiritual or I'm carnal. All right. So, once again, you know, to be carnal, in case you don't know, it's just the Latin, you know, it's rooted from Latin, right? And it basically just means to be fleshly, okay? Worldly minded, okay? Secular. That's weird, right? But it means that, right? Or sinful, okay? And so that's what it means. So when we're examining ourselves whether or not we're carnal, here's where we're going to start, okay? There's three things that I think mark a carnal Christian that we can find in these verses here. One is the carnal Christian is infirm, okay? He's sickly, okay? He's either dying or he's stagnant, okay? There's no growth. Really, you're a baby, okay? But the problem, and it's okay to be a baby when you're 1 year old, okay? Perfectly fine. Okay, so I guess we could say is that it's possible that you're carnal just because you're a babe in Christ, okay? That's fine, right? I mean, it's not fine that we want you to mature, right? But you may be there because, hey, I'm brand new to this, okay? And I'm just learning. But it doesn't become so cute when, you know, a 30-year-old man still has to wear diapers, okay, because he's not developed, okay? And, you know, right. If a baby doesn't grow, either physically or mentally, it is indicative of a disorder, a disease, or a deformity. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Okay, if you're not growing, in Christ Jesus, it is indicative of a spiritual disorder, a disease, or a deformity. Do you want that? Do you want to be deformed, diseased? Okay, do you want to have a disorder? I don't, right? An infant cannot help him or herself, right? Helpless. I mean, when they first come out, they can't even hold their head up. You've got to, like, brace their head up, okay? Just, you know, right? And you've got to brace the head. And, you know, they just can't help themselves, okay? And since they can't help themselves, they certainly can't help others. So if we're in this state of carnality, this protracted infancy, then really what we are is that we're constantly in need of attention and supervision, yep, and help. Yes. And everywhere we go, yep, we're just, help me, help me, yes, give to me, yes, give to me. It's like a baby crying. Wah, wah. I don't want to do it, but have you ever seen the Dumb and Dumber, like, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? Right? Okay. No. No, I'd be too ashamed, right? It'd be cool now, but then later I'd watch it and be like, oh my goodness, did I just do that? Right? So, but just picture that in your mind, right? I mean, imagine, you know, those days when you know, either they're happening right now or they're in your future or they're in days past, you know, where you're lying in bed and the baby is just wah, wah, all night long, right? Okay? Perfectly fine, okay, when you're a helpless baby and you're supposed to be there, okay? But if you're still in this stage of infancy as a Christian, and everywhere you go, you're just taking, give me more, give me attention, I need, and you're never giving, that is a sign that you are a carnal Christian. Are we making sufficient spiritual progress, or are we stuck in this state of protracted infancy? Hebrews 5:11-14 says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what's really sad about Hebrews here is that these were people who actually had gotten to a place where they appeared to be spiritually mature, but have regressed, okay? They're infirm. And it's just, to be in a carnal state as a Christian is dangerous. Because it's living in just immaturity and sin, right? And when we let sin in as Christians, what happens is that begins to harden my things toward the things of God, right? And as my heart grows hard toward the things of God, I begin to lose interest. You know, are you bored of Christianity? Are you bored of church? Are you bored of reading your Bible? Are you bored of singing songs? Are you restless? Oh, man, this band sucks. Which you don't, just so you guys know. But right. But, like, I mean, right? Yeah, I mean, what's... But, yeah. But, I mean, what's in your heart, right? Because even if you have the most magnificent preacher or the most magnificent band, it can bore you if you are in a state of carnality. Because you cannot receive the things of God in that state. You're worldly, you're fleshly, sensual. The second sign that you're a carnal Christian is you're impotent or powerless over sin. There are two forces at work in us as Christians, the spirit and the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says this, "For the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." Which one is winning? When you go throughout your day, is your life marked by sin and defeat? Do you always feel guilty all of the time? When you lie down, you know, to go to bed, are you like, man, I really suck today. God, please forgive me. Now, it's great. I mean, it's fine to confess our sins, and God forgives us, okay? And I'm not saying, we're not talking about salvation at this point, okay? We're talking about maturity in Christ Jesus, okay? Now, I was saved that day when I moved from atheism to Christianity, okay? But I was carnal. I am carnal, right? And the question is, do you want to be there, right? Do you want to be immature? You know, I think of, you know, just as I'm reflecting on raising my children, how it's a struggle sometimes for my eldest, because he's the one who has to pioneer everything, right? And of course, he's the one I'm making all the mistakes with, right? I'm like, you know, some Gestapo, okay, like, we're gonna do this, okay? And then the other kids, I'm like, it's cool, right? Yeah. You know? And I'm like, God, I didn't know I was this big of a jerk until I became a parent. I thought I was a pretty nice guy. I was like, I'm pretty nice. I mean, I never get in arguments with anybody. Everybody says how nice I am. And then I had Preston. I'm like, man, I'm a jerk. I'm a bully, right? And man, he's teaching me just as much about being a father as I'm teaching him how to be a man. But you know what happens is that as I put pressure on him to mature, and I'm like, sometimes I'll, you know, when I'm frustrated, I'll just say to him, Preston, I just need you to grow up, okay, just a little bit. You know, just a little bit, Preston, right? And, you know, okay, yeah. All right, don't hold this against me. I love my son, right? I'm trying, okay? Remember, right, I'm the opposite of this sermon. We're working it out of me, right? But, you know, but sometimes, you know, he wants to be at the level that Kember is, or at the level that Elam is. He doesn't want to let go of those old comforts, you know, that came with being a little kid. Like the biggest one, sorry, son, when you watch this when you're older, maybe. But dude loves to suck his fingers. Just, it's incessant, right? And it's never in sight, like he's wised up, okay? It's always in secret. He just goes into the bedroom and he's like, okay, for hours. And hours. And what's amazing is that, like, all of his fingernails will be long, but two of them, right? Because he sucks them so long that it wears the fingernails down, right? And he never understands how I know, right, that he's sucking his fingers, right? But imagine, now it's somewhat cute now because he's still pretty young, but imagine if he's 30 and he's like, wouldn't that be horrible, right? Ah, it would be horrible. You'd be made fun of so much. It would be abnormal, right? So do you want to be spiritually mature? Do you want to grow up in Christ? Or do you want to remain a babe? That's something we have to ask ourselves, right? And for me, man, I hate the sin that just holds me captive sometime, right? And I do not want to remain in immaturity because I just hate that stuff so much and I want to be free of it. which I love the songs that we sang. I'm like, yes, and this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Jesus said in John 8:34, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. A life that is dominated by sin is carnal. If you are suffering with addiction and you can't break it, I'm sorry, that's a sign of carnality, okay? Because the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Yeah. Yes. And it's just, like I said, a life that is dominated by sin is carnal. Okay. Galatians 5:19 through 21 says this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness. I don't know what uncleanness is. Use your imagination. I don't know. It could be all manner of things, I suppose. Lewdness. Idolatry, I probably should have looked that up, right? Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay. Well, that's a concern, right? Yeah. I want to inherit the kingdom of God, okay? And I'm not trying to suggest that when I earn my salvation, and then once I've earned my salvation, I somehow maintain it through works. No, okay? You cannot earn your salvation, and you can't maintain it through works either. But this scripture still has to be reckoned with, okay? If we're practicing these things, it says we will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if sin is holding you captive and you're caught in addiction, man, we need to work that out, right? I need to work that out, okay? I don't want that there. That's a dangerous place to be. It's going to lead me away from the Lord. And it's like my father, you know, when he let sin in, I don't think that God said, see you later, dude. Boom, okay? My dad's heart grew hard toward God, and then he said, later, right? He made the choice, okay? So the danger of sin in a Christian's life is not that God's going to be like, I'm so tired of you, get out, right? It's more like my heart grows so hard toward God that I say, I'm out of here. I'm making the choice. I'm the prodigal son. I want my inheritance now. I want to spend it in a worldly way. One of the biggest ways that I am carnal, let me be vulnerable for a moment. Is that all right? You guys aren't going to hold it against me, are you? Right. Maybe you will. It's all right if you do. Right? One of the biggest ways that I am carnal, and I mean hugely carnal, is by being a complainer. I am just a huge complainer. I remind myself, and it scares me, of Israel in the desert. Okay? And, you know, when we look at what God did for Israel in the desert, one, they had 400 years of slavery, and God's like, I'm going to just, in just like that, bring you out, okay? And I'm going to destroy armies for you, and I'm going to give you supernatural food, and I'm going to make it so your shoes don't wear out, your clothes don't wear out. You know, you're going to have a prophet there, you know, to tell you the words of the Lord. You're going to see a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day, you know, and all craziness, you know, water out of rocks and just insanity all the time, right? And they're constantly complaining against the Lord. I mean, the people complained to Moses, you know, in Exodus 14:11 through 12, you know, they said, why'd you bring us out here just so that we could die in the desert? Okay, like all this happened, and they're like, you just brought us out here to die. It was better back in Egypt. It was better back then. And the people complained about being hungry, and God gave them manna. He's like, all right, you guys are hungry, no problem. Boom, you know, heaven food. Feast on that, right? And then it wasn't long, and then they complained about that. They're like, our souls loathe this loathsome bread, right? They're literally like, God, we hate this stuff so much. We just hate it, right? It was so much better back in Egypt where we had leeks and onions. Oh, we hate this manna that you're giving us. And God was torqued with them. He was so mad. And he's like, you know what? I'll give you meat. I'll give you so much meat, it'll come out your nose, right? And then you'll be sick of meat, right? That's how much meat you're going to get, right? And they all just like eating quail, nah, nah, nah. And they were just, and God, it said the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and a great plague, you know, afflicted the camp of Israel. And, you know, and I'm laughing, I shouldn't, because these are real people, but it just reminds me of me, okay? It just reminds me of me. I mean, they even complained against, you know, God's appointed leaders. You know, they're like, hey, you know, doesn't God speak through us too? How come Moses gets this privileged position? You know, how come he gets all the honor, whatever? Or, you know, hey, maybe we should vote him out and put a new person in, right? And then God was like, he went on killing sprees, okay? I mean, he did, okay, over that stuff. Because people were complaining against God's leader. And I mean, and let that just be just a little aside. Like, if you are a contentious person against the leaders that God has placed in your life, that also is a sign of carnality. Okay? If you are just, I forgot what I said. So if you're contentious, yes, contentious. Right. If you're contentious against the leaders that God has placed in your life, you are living in carnality. All right. So I look at all these and I see the judgments that God has given Israel. And I'm like, God, you know, the things I've complained over. It's like, you know, I'll have a plan. You know, like I'll want to go to school for IT or something, right? And then God's like, no. Right. And then I'll be like, God, why? Why did you do this to me? Why don't you let me have any skills? Right. Why don't I have any skills? I need skills. Aren't skills useful? Right. Wasn't I trying to better me and my family? What do you have against me? You know, why are you sabotaging me? You know, and I'm like, you're so mean. Right. And then eventually what ends up happening is that I put myself, you know, in the seat of the judge. And I'm banging the gavel, right? And I'm like, let's put you on trial, God, because you're super mean. And let me tell you how mean you are, right? Because you didn't, you know, give way to my plan, you know. That's a sign of carnality. If you have an attitude like that toward God, that is a carnal mind. The third sign that you're carnal is you're incompetent. Right. I'm sorry.
Amen, brother.
Right. We're talking about... This is me, okay? This is me, okay? This is where I got this information, okay? Right. So, if you feel like I'm throwing stones, okay... I pelted myself first, okay? Right. And when I'm talking about incompetence, I'm not talking about incompetence in worldly things. I'm not saying that you aren't really a good doctor or you're a really good, you know, whatever the thing is, okay? I'm talking about incompetence when it comes to spiritual things. Really, the only things that really, frankly, matter, okay? You may be extraordinary, an accomplished artist, which, you know, my dad isn't a great artist. He's like the greatest artist I've ever seen. He can do anything. He can sculpt, he can paint, he can do computer stuff, whatever, anything. He's like, I'm just going to, there it is, right? But, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, my dad is incompetent, right? And, you know, the scriptures say this too, you know, in Romans 8, 5 through 8, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Yes. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay. So if carnality is a state of being in the flesh, a place of being spiritually immature, I can't please God. Okay. And if I'm in that state, okay, I have a carnal mind, and my mind is enmity against God. Okay. And I'll tell you, man, you know, my mind is so carnal sometimes that I'll be like, okay, I'm going to read the Bible. And then like 3 words into it, I'm like, oh my goodness, I want to play a video game. Okay. Like, right. I mean, that's like as far as I'm able to get. Okay. Like I'm trying to do the sermon. I'm like, am I up out of my chair again? What am I doing? I'm supposed to be preparing a sermon, but I'm walking around again for like the 500th time, you know? And it's because my flesh is revolting, you know, against submitting to the word of God, right? It doesn't want to receive the things of God's word. And so I ask you, you know, are you bored when you hear God's word? Are you bored when you read it? Does it bore you? Because if it does, your flesh has taken over, okay? And you're in a carnal state. All right. James 1:23-24 says this: For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. This reminds me of me, right? And I believe many other Christians in Christianity, when we sit down and we're in the presence of God, right? I mean, like, you know, worship is amazing, right? And the Holy Spirit is present, and we can feel the Holy Spirit. It's tangible. We're like, yo, the Holy Spirit's here. Amazing things are happening, right? And then, you know, the pastor gets up, and there's an amazing word, and we're like, this is amazing. This is the most amazing thing I've ever heard, okay? And then as soon as we walk out of the door, it's purged. It's just gone, okay? No transformation. And we're just like, no, we're the same, okay? If that is your habitual spiritual experience, okay, you might be in a state of carnality, okay? Or you are, right? So if we look at those things and we say, you know, God, what's going on here? You know, why so much defeat? Why so much, you know, I try so hard, you know, but I never seem to succeed, right? I read the word of God and I'm like, I like that. I want to be that, right? But the question is, do I really like it, or do I just like the idea of becoming that, right? And that's a start. I think that's a start, okay? But how do we reverse that? How do we reverse the carnal state? You know, how does that get resolved? And I think the first thing is that we must be convicted of the carnal state, which is why we went through this, why we spent so much time going through this. I want you guys to join me, okay, as I examine myself, right, and I say, you know, God, I'm pretty carnal, right? And I'm convicted of it, and I want that to change, okay? That's an important place to be, because there's something about American Christianity where we are unwilling to be real about how messed up we are, okay? And really, the reason we're being unreal about how messed up we are is because of how we're worried how other people think. We're not even really worried about what God thinks. We're just like, man, I really hope Pastor Matt doesn't notice that, you know, I'm kind of a joker, right? You know, and that's it, right? And that's sad, okay? So no remedy is found within ourselves. Nothing. I mean, and I don't mean to be so bleak, right? But there, it's kind of hopeless, okay? If you're going to rely on yourself, okay, there is no remedy for you in the carnal state, okay? You're stuck there. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. We'll just keep that in mind as we go on. The second thing we need to do to reverse the carnal state is we need to believe that it is possible to live a victorious life. Yes. Something that has always bothered me, and you know, I'm grateful to God, right, that it's never sat well with me, is when I hear people say, oh, you know what, you're just going to struggle with that until you die. right? You know, it's just how it is. That's how life is, okay? You will struggle with that. That's human nature. It's just going to be a thing, okay? And, I just resent that, okay? I hope that's not true, okay? Right? And it's not, right? But it's like, everything, you know, it is possible to live a victorious life. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, the perfect golden boy ever. And, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a life that isn't dominated, you know, by repeated failure in the same areas over and over again, but progress, right? Like God brings up an issue, right? And I'm able to move past that by the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm able to advance, okay? And look back and be like, God has brought me from there to here, and that is no longer dominating my life because I am not in the carnal state, but I am in the spiritual state. Okay. Yeah. Ephesians 5, 1 through 4 says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Are you laughing about the things that God hates? Are you? Because be worried. If you're laughing about the things that God hates, that means that you're in a carnal state, okay? But what this is saying here, right, is that sexual immorality shouldn't even be named among Christians. But the statistics say 70% of Christians, you know, are viewing pornography on a regular basis, okay? So, but it says, let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality among you, right? But yet we're all viewing porn regularly, right? You know, that's a problem, right? Okay, so the Bible says it's possible, right? But for some reason we say, no, it's not possible. You know, God's grace is sufficient. You know, I'm just gonna take, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross, you know, and I'm going to take his grace for a free ride and I'm going to use it as license for sin, right? Is basically what ends up happening, right? And maybe we don't want that, but it's what ends up happening. So we must be convicted of our carnal state. We must believe that it's possible to live a victorious life. And we must be willing to give up everything, okay? Everything, right? Because to be carnality isn't always a sin issue. I mean, oftentimes it isn't in my life, but sometimes it's just fixating on the world, okay? Things that are passing away, things that are meaningless, things that are vain, things that are pointless when God has something more important for you. Hebrews 12:1 says this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So it says lay aside every weight. What's weighing you down, okay? What's weighing you down from being willing to give up everything? What are you holding on to? I mean, what is so important, okay, that you're like, you know what? We can just suspend spiritual maturity. I'll just live in this protracted infancy. I'll be a baby forever, and maybe I'll still make it to heaven. Okay, but I will have accomplished nothing for the kingdom of God, right? And my whole life will have just been spent catering to the flesh, which all gets destroyed in the end anyway. Okay. So be willing to give up everything. And the final thing, I think the most important thing, the most important key, I think, to moving from a place of carnality to a place of spirituality is to be filled with the Spirit, okay? Ephesians 5:18 says this, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us, I mean, and I realize that people struggle, right? And I'm not condemning, right? But most of us try to obey the do not get drunk with wine, okay? But we ignore the second half of the verse, which says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit? When's the last time you prayed, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit? You know, I mean, if you look at the disciples, I mean, just briefly, right? Jesus looks at them and he says, you know, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathes on them, right? And then nothing sort of happens, right? And then afterward, you know, they're in the upper room, they pray for the Holy Spirit, huge things happen, okay, right? And then after a while, you know, they do amazing things, da-da-da-da-da, and they pray for the Holy Spirit again. The same disciples, and they say, God, give us boldness. And it says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And I'm like, so that tells me, right, that, you know, it's not necessarily a one-time gig, okay? I mean, like sometimes the spiritual walk, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm finding myself in a carnal state. I'm finding myself in a carnal state. I need to be lifted out of that carnal state. The only thing that can lift me out of that carnal state is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And the Holy Spirit does so much for us. I mean, the Holy Spirit enlightens us concerning truth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses, right? But I think where we need to focus here is that the Holy Spirit enables us to live godly lives. You know, oftentimes, you know, you go to a lot of denominations where the Holy Spirit is a focus, and it's all about the gifts. It's all about, well, hey, you know, if I speak in tongues and I give prophecies and, you know, we do healings and people fall over, well, then I'm a really spiritual dude. I must be spiritual and not carnal. But clearly, because we just read in the Corinthians that they lacked no spiritual gift, no spiritual gift. They were smart dudes. They could probably preach good sermons, okay? They probably had a big church, okay? And then they could speak in tongues and they could prophesy, but they were still carnal, okay? They were still carnal. So, we're going to wrap up with this here. Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27 says this, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on them, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you," and this is the part I really want you guys to notice, "and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments to do them." So the missing piece, if you find yourself in a carnal state, is maybe you lack the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, you know, 16 and 22 through 25 says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It says that. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a promise in Scripture, okay? So if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, it must mean you're not walking in the Spirit. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, okay, it must mean, okay, that you need to be seeking the Holy Spirit in your life. You're like, I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. I need to yield myself further to the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, if we have the Holy Spirit, the fruit, the natural fruit of having the Holy Spirit fill our lives will be these things. And I think that if we had these things, we could all agree that that would be a good definition of what spiritual maturity is. All right, so let's pray. All right. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you that you've even given us the Holy Spirit, God, that you have empowered us and equipped us through your Holy Spirit if we would yield to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I believe, God, that the Holy Spirit is the most important person in the world today, you know, and we want to yield to your Holy Spirit, God. We want to give way to the Holy Spirit. So, man, just in your hearts, brothers and sisters, okay, if when we've gone through this, if you've looked in there and you said, God, I'm carnal, you know, would you with me, can we just corporately repent of that carnality, okay? And can we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us? Can we do that? Okay. Heavenly Father, I pray that in this moment, God, you would put us on the right track, on the track of victory for your name's sake, God, for your pleasure, so that you can have a bride that is without spot and blemish. I want to be without spot and blemish for you, God. And I know, I believe that my brothers want to also, God. So I pray, fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, so that we can be enabled and empowered to live a godly life for you. And the last thing I want to ask is that if there's anybody out there, right, who when you're listening to this, you're like, man, you know, not only am I carnal, but I'm pretty certain I'm not even a Christian. Okay, would you please just raise your hand if you want to be a Christian? Okay. All right, that's great. All right, thank you, Lord. Be with these brothers and sisters as they go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.